Now I'll turn it over to you, actually, Daniel.
A couple additional items that I have for you. First is under payroll changes. We do have some additional items that we want to include under the police department. We have our rally pay schedule. We do not have each of the individual rally hires that are included here, but it does have the pay rate for each of the individual officers based on their years of experience, as well as in our animal shelter support staff. These are going to be part-time employees that will simply fill in when we have our two regular employees are not able to work at that time. During the rally department, we do have, again, survey facilitators. They are the ones who do our demographic surveys throughout the rally. They go around and ask individuals if they would provide some information so that we can truly gauge kind of the economic impact of the rally, as well as what causes visitors to attend, as well as to really be able to justify and see how well our advertising is working. So we have those. Some of them will be working starting this Wednesday. Others will be starting on Thursday. We do have some event staff assistants that will be helping, just doing running and doing all the various events that we have. In addition, I do want to note that inadvertently we did leave off Brianna Genevieve. She has been working with us throughout the entire summer at $10 an hour. She will be receiving this week as well as next week a raise of $1 an hour to $11 an hour. Then after the rally, she'll go back down to $10 an hour. The community center, we do have some rally custodians that will be beginning with us. They'll be working at the community center as well as at the armory, rally point, and a few other locations that the city has to make sure that those areas are clean for all of our various visitors. And then also in the liquor store, we have several part-time sales clerks, as well as stockers, as well as parking lot attendants. All of those are really quite vital to ensure that we're able to provide good customer service. Frankly, if you look at some of our daily sales now, over the past 5-6 days, some of our daily sales are almost equal to what they have been during the rally at times. So these positions are really needed to ensure that our shelves are fully stocked and also that the lines are not too long for visitors. Are there any questions on the payroll changes for this week? Beyond that, I also want to note that we do have a memo included that kind of gives a history of the city hall remodel project and just lays out where we currently are. That project really goes back to the 2016 Generation Fund Capital Improvement Plan for 5 years. This project is actually one of the last projects that we are working on. That's part of that five-year plan. The goal is to be able to bid that this year still so that we are able to start construction either very late this year or early next year. There's a couple of items that we're asking the council to decide on as far as the layout. And so that information has been published on our city website after our last council meeting, and it's on our city website now. The plans, if anyone wants to look at, are available during regular business hours at our finance office so that they can review it. Also, if anyone has comments, they can definitely contact myself. And beyond that, on August 20th, during that regular council meeting, we will have the architect that will be here to answer any questions that the council has. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Thanks, Daniel. Item 8 is our consent calendar. We have A through I tonight. Does council wish to remove any of those and discuss them individually?
F, please.
We have a request for F to be removed and discussed individually. Are there any other requests from council? How about anybody in the public? Do we need to remove any items and discuss them individually? What do you have, Bonnie? D and E, both all the plats, basically. We have, We have requests for D, E, and F to remove from the consent calendar. Are there any more? Is there a motion for the remaining consent calendar? We have first by Rhea.
Second.
Second by Steve. Any last discussion? All those in favor of the consent calendar, actually, let's roll call. We'll be roll calling the entire consent calendar minus DEF. Jason, we'll start with you.
Yes.
Ron.
Yes.
Rhea.
Yes.
Becca.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes.
I'm yes. Mike.
Yes.
And Terry.
Yes.
We have a consent calendar approved. Item D we'll tackle first. This is the plat on Moose Drive, and I believe this is the one that has the future bike path, right? Is that correct, Daniel? I'm going to turn it over to you on these each individually, but...
Correct. This area is part of the future area that we're looking at to include part of our regional bicycle trail map. The city engineer hosted several South Dakota School of Mines engineering students last semester, or was it all year? Just in the spring semester. One of the portions of that was a citizen kind of charrette where they were able to identify different areas that needed some additional improvements, where there could be some additional areas on the map. It does show an area. This is a drainage area, and upon further kind of review, instead of trying to continue the regional bike path along Otter Road, knowing that there's going to be some future development along the present church property, it was kind of determined that it would be far better for bicycle trail purposes if it would actually be in the floodway. If you look in the floodway, you can't build any structures, but you can definitely build bike paths. The nice thing is that if that would be the location of a future bike path, then there's not going to be several driveways, which driveways, of course, conflict with the idea of bicycle paths. And so that is the point behind this. The property owner here would not be agreeing to help pay for this. This would be a project that the city would pay for in the future. Right now, we don't have an exact year when that would be planned, when it would be constructed. It would likely be 5 years or so. But the idea is we're trying to plan for that now. And so as different plats come up, we're just making sure that the owners are aware of it, that they don't have any concerns. This is an example where the owner is aware, doesn't have any concerns, and is willing to provide us the needed right-of-way so that we construct along there. There's a lot of work that's going to go into this. I don't want to give the impression that it's going to be done in the next 2 years, 3 years. It won't, but it is part of kind of proper future planning to look at areas where there's going to be future capital projects and trying to plan ahead. No, it is not included on the plat. That was a condition of approval, though, that before the plat is filed, that there would be an agreement that would be signed by the property owner that they would agree to it. And the property owner is in full agreement, doesn't have any concerns. That agreement, honestly, has not been written yet, but that's something that we can ask our attorney to write up.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I did talk to the owner, and she had no issues with it at all. So,
any other discussion on this plat? We have a first by Ron.
Move to approve.
Second.
Second by Jason. Those motions for resolution 2018-51. Any last discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by stating yes.
Yes.
Opposed to no. That motion carries unanimously. Brings us subset E. This is another plat. This is on Ballpark Road. Daniel, I'll turn it over to you. This is some underdeveloped property.
As the mayor described, this is simply some underdeveloped property that the property owners would like to have platted correctly. When we have looked at this, according to the setbacks, there would be able to have a home constructed on the proposed property as it would be platted. The owner did ask whether or not a garage could be built there independently. The answer is, according to our zoning, no. A garage cannot be constructed on an independent parcel unless it's that parcel also has a single-family home. But with that, still, the property owner wanted to proceed with the plat. This meets all of our zoning requirements. There's no concerns.
Any questions on that?
This parcel would be split into two. The blue.
She doesn't want
to on one out. Of the parcels is already a house. On the other parcel, there is no house.
Any other discussion? Council or public? First by Rhea.
I'll second it.
Second by Steve. Resolution 2018-50. All those in favor, please indicate by stating yes.
Yes.
Opposed to no. That plat is approved. Brings us to subset F. This one is 2018-53, and it's in Palisades. I don't think you have the right maps for this, Daniel.
Well, this one's far more confusing, so yeah. I don't know what map would right. answer your questions on it. To keep this as brief as possible, this goes back several years with trying to make some concessions so that this project can be fully built. I know one of the items that the mayor and I hear most often from residents around there is that they want the subdivision finished so that there's not dirt flying around. Beyond that, I think it's in all taxpayers' best interest to get the property fully constructed so it's back on the tax rolls. When this was originally proposed in its current configuration several years ago, it was proposed and designed as having several fourplexes that would be constructed. And in order to save on the cost of the utility taps to each of those individual townhomes, the MUB did allow one single water line to go to each one of the four structures. And there was a curb stop, a master curb stop that was incorporated in with the development. And then from there, it would branch out to the four individual kind of apartment units. Now the developer is looking at actually separating those so that they're four townhomes, so that they're not four apartment units, so that the one fourplex would not necessarily have the same ownership. In the future, each homeowner could own 1/4, essentially, of kind of that larger structure. The concern that has been brought up is that if that occurs, this is in violation, frankly, of our water regulations, where each individual home should have its own separate water line. The issue is that if we were to require that, then the road would be dug up numerous times. There would be several trenches that would go across. Inevitably, the road would fail, and it seems to be our luck that it usually doesn't fail within the 2-year warranty period. It usually takes about 3 to 5 years when it starts to fail. So it really is not in the best interest for the road to be torn up numerous times. However, we also want to make sure that it's very clear that the city's responsibility ends at the curbs at the master curb stop, that from there the water lines are truly jointly owned up until there's the individual curb stops to each one of those individual townhomes. And so we have asked, and the Planning Commission was quite adamant on this point, that number one, there would be a note that would be included on the plat, as well as an addendum that would be filed with the purchase agreement that would note that, number one, that there's easements for mutual maintenance of those water lines, and also that the cost of maintaining those water lines are truly borne by the property owners. The issue is that, number one, we want to make sure that in 30, 40 years, if there becomes an issue, that they do not come back to the city to seek the city to pay for repairs, and also that the homeowners are well aware of it so that when that liability comes up, they're not necessarily surprised. The issue is that there's no way to fully make sure that the homeowner is fully aware of it, even if you make notes. As several people have pointed out, when you purchase properties, there's a massive amount of documents that everyone signs. It doesn't necessarily mean that everyone fully reads each one of the documents. And so the staff's recommendation would be the same as what the Planning Commission's is that it would be approved, however, subject to a clarifying note on the plat that there is a utility easement as well as mutual responsibility of those water lines, and also that there would be an addendum to the purchase agreement, that addendum would note both of those things, that there's a utility easement as well as joint financial responsibility in those lines, that the city responsibility ends at the master curb stop. The developer has made a note on the proposed plat that covers half of that, meaning just the utility easements. It doesn't talk about the financial responsibility. In addition, the developer has provided an addendum although that addendum still only talks about the utility easement, the Planning Commission as well as the staff recommend that the council would approve this subject to both the plat as well as the addendum being modified to include that. And so if that is how the council would proceed, there would be up to 30 days where those adjustments could be made before the plat is recorded. And so that's what we would request, is that you would approve it, and then the developer would have up to 30 days to make the adjustments on the plat and also provide the proper addendum that would be filed with each one of the purchase agreements. Once the finance officer has that addendum, as well as a revised plat that has that, then the plat could be signed by the mayor and then filed by the finance officer. So again, just to make sure it's fully clear, we'd ask that you would approve the plat subject to those revisions and allow the city attorney to review those revisions to ensure that they incorporate all the concerns that the Planning Commission as well as staff have. Are there any questions on that?
It's clear as mud.
I was just curious on if...
Pull your microphone in front there, Steve.
Well, do these carry on to each owner?
The mutual responsibility that Daniel was talking about, and the answer to that question is yes. The way the water is laid out is, as I've been advised, there will be, for each master curb stop, it's going to serve four of them, and right. That will remain there until it'll be that way until somebody changes the plumbing.
Okay, maybe I need to say it better. Will each new ownership
still see the addendum?
Still see the addendum.
That's the purpose of it. It's in the deed, and so they should see it. It's on the plat, and that'll be part of the package of documents for each purchaser.
Thank you.
Amber, come on up, please. Yeah, Bonnie, you got to come up next time too.
Well, sure, I'm glad I came tonight. I have nothing to do with this, but I have some questions.
Well, it's in your backyard.
Okay. It is my backyard, so now I'm concerned. On a typical street, what is a typical arrangement like? Does my home only have a master curb stop, or am I sharing? I don't understand what this master curb stop is.
Your home, and I'm sorry, I don't know your particular home, so I can't say.
It's actually, I'll show you. Behind
right
it.
Right. Yeah. Oh,
that would be one.
Is it a single family home?
Yeah.
If it's a single family home, there's a curb stop that is either in the sidewalk or kind of right behind, something like that.
Okay.
The city would actually own or be responsible for the water as well as the water lines all the way up to that curb stop.
Okay.
From there, you're responsible from that point forward.
The curb stop forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's
yours.
So, and that's solely yours. This one is unique in that, as designed, the city is responsible up to that master curb stop, and then it branches out to four separate lines.
Is that dirty?
It's unconventional. It's not unique, though.
Now I don't want to buy one of those lots and build there because now I've heard about this.
It might reduce the property value of those. I mean, it increases potential future liability of that without a doubt.
And that's one reason we want this on. We want it for the future because it's a different situation than anywhere else.
Now, with that being said, it might be – actually, it's probably not even – and it's not unique in Sturgis. There are other examples like this in Sturgis, not of a property that's been constructed in the last 10 years, but there are other examples in Sturgis. And one of the planning commissioners did mention that this has happened quite often in Rapid City very recently. So this is not unheard of by any means, but it is still unique, especially in newer construction in Sturgis, which is why I think we're going through the extra steps to make it as clear as possible to future owners.
So what kind of homes are being allowed to be built there? Are the fourplexes being allowed to be built?
Yes.
Are they single family homes? So there can be four fourplexes within this master curbs.
One fourplex
per master curb stop. And then that fourplex would be able to be sold as just one building, so that one owner
could own it all.
for individual units, or it could be sold as individual townhomes.
Everybody there is liable.
Right. Hey.
No, there's not four. There's two fourplexes on there and two. The road would be tore up every single time someone bought it. The original plan, this is different than the original plan when the developer put the infrastructure in. And now he's come back, and what the city's trying to do is to minimize the tearing up of the new road and to ensure that future purchasers understand this situation and that the city is not responsible for anything beyond what we're responsible for every other household in the town. So that's why we're having this. You got to come up to the microphone, Bonnie.
So you're saying that the road would be torn up every time it's bought and sold?
No, what we're saying is that if this modification is not allowed, if the developer proceeded to sell them as townhomes, then the road would have to be torn up, and there would have to be individual water lines brought from the middle of the road to each individual townhome.
One time.
Well, but for each individual home. And so instead of having the existing ones there, there's going to be 12 new lines that are going to be brought through. And frankly, they never get recompacted as well as when they were originally put in. And inevitably, what ends up happening, you can ride any of our streets in Sturgis and you can see wherever there's a utility trench, not whenever. The majority of times when there's a utility trench that's brought into the road, it ends up settling further.
And I get that, but it just seems like the right thing to do is to do the thing right. I mean, why are we creating a complication like this? Does the developer take care of getting that in there right so that before he sells the properties?
Well, that's why that's we're recording this. We're requesting that it's recorded on the deed as the discussion stated with. It's on the deed, and then it's also on an addendum of the purchase order. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing everything that we can do to make sure that this notification is put on there as a city. Now, there could be a point in time where a city council has to deal with the situation, but at least there'll be minutes, and we'll show right. Where it's been recorded.
And I get that, and I appreciate that you're getting that all nailed down, but I'm aware that, like Shirley Wall has had a shared access on that little group of properties there from the old Regan gas station through the Dave's Auto Repair and then her house. And that has been a nightmare complication for her and everyone she has dealt with there.
Without a doubt.
Forever. So why are we creating one of those?
Well, this doesn't go underneath anybody.
Yeah. This is entirely different than the majority of how some of these older developments in Sturgis were done. I mean, there's full curb and gutter. There's not water lines that go underneath other structures or anything else. There's just a potential for a future liability when a water line that's used by two or more homes happens to leak and then someone has to come in and repair those water lines. That's far different than a lot of these areas in older parts of Sturgis where we have sewer lines that go underneath people's homes or garages and things like this. I mean, this is far, far less severe than that. However, the reality of trying to get this done correctly is that the cost is going to be prohibitive, and then the land sits there. And that, I know, is the last thing that residents who live there want to see happen, is for the land to simply sit there again.
And if you're doing a street, you're doing a street. I guess I don't see why it isn't, the street isn't done right, so it lasts. Why do you have that complication of it?
Come back to the microphone, Amber, please.
This is my last comment, then I'll let it go.
Amber, state your full name for us, please.
Amber Bergdorfer.
I appreciate you saying that.
So who's the developer of this?
It's Mike Strain.
Right. So why don't you guys mandate him do it properly? Or why
not? We definitely can.
Or why not only let him build the amount of homes where each one has one?
This would not change the density of development whatsoever. This is not getting more homes or more rooftops there than what was approved years and years ago. So this doesn't change the density whatsoever. It simply allows homes that otherwise were going to be rental occupied to be allowed to be owner occupied, which if you go back to the original discussions when this subdivision was approved, most of the homeowners around there or property owners did want more and more of them to be owner-occupied.
Right.
And so this actually gets it closer to more of that property being developed as owner-occupied. If the city required that the road be torn up so that brand new service lines could be brought in, again, that's something that could be done. It's going to be cost prohibitive. The developer won't do that. So either it would remain as fourplexes and built that way, which he has said he's likely not going to be doing, which means for quite some time the land would probably sit there.
That's a problem?
I get calls quite often from residents there that don't like it, that it sits there.
Daniel, so the master curb stop is in the street?
Yes. It's close to the gutter, isn't it?
Okay, so from there, if these fourplexes were to be built, where do they tie into?
Liz, you better come up to the microphone too, please.
Just flip it around and draw a picture on the back.
I can Faye's microphone or Daniel's microphone.
Well, just draw it first and then discuss.
Okay, so this is the street, water lines somewhere in there. This is the sidewalk. Curb stop is probably somewhere within the street right away. And then you have four water lines that would go into the unit. From my understanding from Dale. And so what they want to do is they want to put in property lines here. And so what the issue is that if the water line in 10 years breaks over here, it impacts all four of these people, and they have to dig up in it. And so, and the other issue that comes up is that the city just goes up to here. So if someone's planting a tree here, it doesn't get part of the 811 or the 411 for digging. So it belongs, this structure here, the curb stops and all, belong to the four different properties. And so that's
right.
And so that's why we want to make some slight changes to this drawing, because I don't think personally that this drawing quite shows it quite exactly how to make it clear that there's some joint ownership.
But if guy one wrecks the line, guy 1, 2, 3, and 4 pays.
Correct.
Proportionally, yep. Well,
or they have a civil action against him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's up to them as a private matter, not the city.
But a lot of the times it's not, I mean, 40 years from now, it's not somebody hit it or anything. It's just, it starts to leak.
Something,
and that's where we're concerned.
Something breaks or, you know.
Yeah.
Aren't we creating a future nightmare?
I didn't know if you could tie in each individually, like a line that comes off of them, off of that manifold, and then end up where you could shut the water off. Because I'm looking at it as 40 years from now when somebody's renting this and they don't pay their bill. And what? Then
yeah,
you just leave it on and say,
it creates
well,
a city a problem, too,
right,
because
exactly.
It would be hard to shut one off.
Or one significant water problem in one of them, then they have to shut it off. And
exactly.
four days later, all four
of them, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, to Jason's question, I think, so that curb stop that's on the upper part of the sidewalk, that's where we tie in. Normally
we would ask the
so you go all the way to the road.
You go all the way
to the water main. Yeah.
This wonderful dashed line that I created for you.
You go all the way to the water main underneath the road.
Yeah,
that's
or wherever
the difficulty.
It is. Yeah.
Yep. No.
I don't think
no.
so.
No, they're not.
No, but the curb and gutter and the street are all in place.
So why can't you feed off that single dot and make each one of those a separate?
That's up to the council to decide what they want to do.
I mean, I can understand the street issue if you think you have to dig across the street for each.
You'd have to break up the curb, and you'd have to do all that.
But if you're feeding them from your single dot to begin with, why can't you create off of that point?
It still would. You're saying like a spoke.
That's not clean. That's that.
That
would
be worse.
That would be worse.
Yeah.
The only way to really do it properly, Bonnie, is to dig a new water line to the main in the street for each one of those properties.
Yeah, each one of those would have to have their own line. And
they'd have to have their own line, and then there'd be a separate curb stop for each one of them, and the city would be responsible for the main. But you'd have to dig up the street, and you'd have to tap in, and that's real doable. I mean, those things are done all the time. It's just it's a matter of whether the developer is going to want to spend that extra amount of money to do that.
But and then the streets all tore up.
Why can't you feed it off of that one? If you're feeding four people off of that anyway, why can't you feed your stops
it's,
off of that?
It's not clean because it's not on the curb stop needs to be on in the public right away.
And it needs to be for each property.
And it needs to go right at the near the property line for each property.
So why can't this branch
become
four curb stops off of that point?
It can't because the plats aren't connected. They don't divide off to that curb stop.
And if we just came off this like a spoke, it would be crossing other people's properties. Not a good situation either.
If you're in the right of way, can't you do that?
It would still cross over into the properties as a diagonal across.
And then once you're ripping things up, you might as well put it back to the water line and do it the way you really want to have it.
Any other discussion?
I'm sorry. Miss Bonnie, you're 100% correct. However, what this is going to do is escalate the cost to the homeowner because the developer isn't going to pay for this. He will add the additional cost to the property to do it correctly. That could elevate each property lot. But on the run.
But isn't that his problem?
It is. But
to sell the property
becomes,
with it being that much more?
I don't disagree. It is his problem. However, what it's going to do it ultimately is affect the entire community because the developer won't be able to sell the lots at a reasonable rate. The people won't buy them if they got to do it themselves. So this property ends up being empty for maybe decades. And that has a property value reduction to this lady who lives right across the street. Now, it kind of a double-edged sword for her. It reduces her property, but if she wants to buy the one across the street, she gets to assume the liability for the pitfall 30 years from now. So, you know, it's double-edged sword here. You're going to hurt somebody, regardless.
And also to start looking at, you know, the total cost of a liability here. I mean, to fix a water line, it's going to be a couple thousand at most. If you look at the total cost of home ownership, that's not a significant portion. The point of this is to call it out to make sure it's very clear because it is unorthodox in the city, but it's not unheard of. It's not unique even in the city. And so just to make sure that homeowners are as aware as possible. But also it's not that it's a significant looming liability that in 3 or 4 years the homeowner is going to end up having.
What I do not like about the final solution here, the city's goal, and by ordinance and by water MUB regulation, control the access and the billing and the payments. This thing's getting really complicated. This may or may not be the best solution. But if I don't believe the developer.
I'm seeing what you say. I'm seeing a complicated problem, but a simplistic solution doesn't uncomplicate it in any way, shape, or form. And, yeah, you have those factors that you don't have a shutoff for those individuals, but does the developer not have? I guess I don't understand why these unsold properties, when the guy has a responsibility for development, are a detriment to the rest of the community. Doesn't he have, as long as he's in the process of developing and hasn't sold, a responsibility to keep those properties up so that they're not a detractor from the rest of the community? How does an unsold property detract from the community?
And unfortunately, this water situation was already developed under the pretense of the fiveplex. Now he's changing gears, and this is what we're stuck with. An awfully big park.
Okay, tell me again why. If this is right away, draw a line out from your eyeball there that's your stop. If that's your...
Sorry, the sidewalk would probably be where your right-of-way would be. And so the curb stop is actually there. It's probably closer into the curb kind of area. And
but
so
it's off the street. It's not out in the street.
Correct.
It could be in the street, too.
Probably not.
But if that's probably your not. Right-of-way, I guess, you know, I have a splitter on my faucet at home. You know, it comes off in a straight line, and I hook four hoses to it to go different places. Yes, I don't understand, if there's water coming to that point, why you can't split this direction and go to those properties without crossing other people's properties without...
It still gives the same situation. It still gives us a situation where the only place that we own to is the curb stop that we're responsible for, that we can't turn anything off other than all of them.
But make that not the curb stop. Make that just the route. I mean, why wouldn't the curb stops be at those four properties if you split it off from that point?
Because then they'd have to be in the right of way also.
You'd have to have four curb stops.
Yeah.
No, there wouldn't be a junction. No curb stop would have four outlets. No. So no matter what, and the four, what you have out there now is existing. And so it was built for a fourplex, so it's big enough. It's a 2-inch line. There's all these things that were played in for a fourplex.
To simplify it, no master curb stop can have four taps coming out. So no matter how it's redesigned at that master curb stop, there's going to end up being areas that are shared lines.
Right. You can't abandon it as a curb stop and just make it a route, a junction.
No.
Curb stop for each individual home must come off the master main.
Yep. That's why you have to go back through the road.
So unless the developer cuts into the roadway, there's always going to be some shared line ownership, or the only other alternative is to continue to have these be individual or one rental residence.
Single owners. Multi-family housing.
Multi-family fourplex.
So again, we're sort of being held hostage by this developer because he won't pay for his change of mind. That's what it was. He's changed his plan, and we're making concessions to make his plan work because he won't pay to do it the right way.
But there's part of us, Bonnie, that don't want to rip the street up because we know exactly what it will be like in a few years. Drive down Pine Street right now. It's awful.
I mean, we're not the only ones giving here. It's a general compromise, and we're not thrilled about it either, but this is the best situation for what we have at hand that we truly believe in. We all do want development, so.
I guess I don't see why you can't just relay the street and have it last like a street.
It would cost a lot of money, and it would inconvenience all the people that are there now.
And frankly, those lots would never be sold for single-family lots at that point.
Right.
For a townhome. If you have to cut into the road, build four brand-new water lines, and then do a road overlay over that, that's going to be more than the value of those lots. So that would never occur.
So in our final solution, it's a situation where we're doing our best to let a future owner know the situation.
Right.
That's where we're at.
And I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. And you're right. We buy a property and we get all this stuff. At closing, nobody gives you time to read all of that stuff. It ought to be put in red print. But I mean, I see where you are. It just seems like again and again we're winding up in a corner where individuals are yanking you around, having to make concessions.
But again, I don't think that that is his intent to yank anybody around. I think that he had a lot of pressure from the neighborhood not put in rental properties.
Right. He changed his plan because of the input from the surrounding neighborhoods. So
that was a very, very contentious public hearing. That was highly contentious. And we have a planning board commissioner or a planning commissioner that is on the commission now because she was quite upset during that, that there was a change.
That was real contentious, but yes. Even him wanting to put in rentals in that area.
Absolutely.
And I remember that night, we listened to a whole lot of different people that were here talking in favor and talking against. So,
Daniel, further practice, fourplex is going in, there's four curb stops.
Right.
Yes. Okay. That's what our water regulations say.
That's our practice all the time.
Well, this is just where we're at. So I just sort of want to slap MUB on the wrist and say,
this should never happen again in the future. Right. This should be the case study to say, no, don't do it.
Like
Mr. Strain was trying to save some money from the get-go and said, hey, we're going to be putting these in, and this is the one feasible way to do it. And then he turned back on it. And so if anything was to happen like this, I think it should be written down that if you change your mind or rezone or something like that, you will have to pay for every curb stop and so on.
The wildflower development's a perfect example that was a lesson from this that said, no, even though you plan on owning each individual building, there's going to be a separate water line that's going to each individual unit because in the future they may end up being subdivided. And if they get subdivided, we don't have this issue again. Yep.
I appreciate your taking it there because that's my point exactly. We shouldn't be here in the first place. And I'm not taking exception to your solution. I just want to be sure we've considered all the possibilities, even though they're a little bit more expensive. But we shouldn't be here in the first place. Does that get put so that these things don't happen again?
Well, it's already in the regulations. Yep, it's already there.
Okay. One thing, Bonnie, too, all this curb in this area here has been torn out and replaced once already at his expense too. So
because it was ready to be done, right?
Correct.
Yep. Any other discussion on the consent calendar? Yeah, he already paid for that once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there a motion with some add-ons by anyone? If the county could get us more microphones.
Poster on. I will make a motion that we approve the plat with the contingency that there is a statement listed on the plat depicting this scenario, and I do not have the exact verbiage. I would leave that up to Mr. Barnier.
On the addendum?
That, as many places as we can. I would actually like it listed in the covenants. Yes.
We have first by Rhea.
I'll second that.
Approve the plat with the additions of the addition to the plat, the verbiage along with the addendum to the purchase agreement, and also the request to be added to the covenants.
Question about the covenants.
Go ahead.
Are the covenants an appropriate place to put those? That notation, or are the covenants really intended to be more restrictions?
Well, I believe that if you put it in the covenants, it's one more document that a reasonable homeowner is going to be aware of before they drop a lot of money on the property. So if they happen to purchase one of the lots that's subject to this, they're just aware that there's a risk of some cost on that parcel that they might not have on a different parcel.
Okay.
But I guess my question is on the process of the covenants. That'll be a process which the developer will have to get signatures from existing landowners and go through a process there.
Well, I guess taking that as a question, yes, they will have to amend the covenants. I don't know who owns how much of what out there, so how difficult it will be is something that's I can't speak to.
In the past, it has seemed like he would file covenants as properties were platted. This is not currently, this will be a replat, so it would require new covenants. Am I correct, Shannon?
So we have a first and a second, right, Steve?
Yes.
With the three additional pieces of information. Ron, go ahead.
What are we going to do if there, in the future, if there's one of these property owners that becomes delinquent on their water bill for a significant period of time?
Well, we deal with it right those now.
In other properties within Sturgis. And
as you get more seasoned on MUB, you'll learn about those.
Yeah. We do have those properties already in Sturgis.
Yep.
Because we can't just shut off the curb stop because we're shutting other people off.
There's workarounds that we include with the where it comes into the house is the easiest way to say it.
Yeah.
And that's for a different discussion, I guess. But I appreciate the point for sure. You're right.
It's not as easy as it should be, but
no, we have workarounds.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we got a first and a second on the floor. All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by stating yes.
Yes.
Opposed, a no. A motion carries unanimously.